a year ago, people running things in Baghdad were talking about de-bathification, a word spun from denazification. Officials of Saddam Hussein's regime, run by the Ba'athist Party, were to be excluded from power in the new regime. Well, now comes criticism from UN envoy Lakhdar Brahimi that the process has gone too far. Last week, Brahimi, who's trying to sort out the transition to Iraqi rule, said de-bathification was excluding too many Sunni Muslims. To wonder Saddam Hussein fared far better than the country's other groups. So, a senior U.S. administration official said the U.S. is reviewing its anti-Ba'athist policies. Edmund Garib is professor of Kurdish and Middle East Studies at American University in Washington, D.C., and joins us now. Professor Garib, shall we now speak of a measured re-Ba'athification of Iraq?
I don't know if it's a measured re-Ba'athification of Iraq, but there's no doubt that there's an attempt to try to correct some of the mistakes, or what's now being seen as a mistake, in the way the administration, the CPA, dealt with Iraqis, particularly Iraqi Ba'athists, as well as people in the civil service, people in the military. And I think probably they went too far in the beginning and alienated and marginalized the whole group. It created a lot of animosities, and I think there is now a recognition that a mistake was made and there is a beginning of an attempt to correct.
Did the U.S. and the Governing Council cut too deep and deprive the country of the services of people who had joined the party just to advance in their careers, but had no blood on their hands?
Well, I think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes that were made. They went too far. They eliminated the whole Ba'ath party. And as you and I know, a lot of Ba'athists simply joined the party. This was a meal ticket for a lot of people. This was the only way to advance, to send your kids to school. So a lot of people, whether they were committed to the ideology of the Ba'ath, joined the Ba'ath party. So by one decision, by the stroke of a pen, they eliminated almost everybody, depriving the country, depriving even the coalition of very qualified people, skilled workers, including many people even in the lower levels of the military who could have played a major role in helping maintain security.
But do you see this as essentially about expertise needed for reconstruction or security, or is it equally about patronage? That is, leading Sunnis, we're Ba'athists, Sunnis are up in arms right now, so give them some more jobs to Sunni Ba'athists in the hopes of stopping the Sunni insurgency.
I think there were a number of issues behind the calls, not only by Brahimi, but by some U.S. generals recently. I think, one, they realized that they alienated significant numbers of the populations. They wanted to make sure that to reduce the numbers of people who are going to join the resistance. They wanted to improve the living standards of the people. They needed qualified, skilled people, engineers, professionals who could help restabilize the country. There's a problem with people working for companies now because of the security situation are afraid to go back there. They also want to end the marginalization of the Sunnis. It appears that many of the people who had been in the party and in the Sunni triangle had joined the resistance or putting up fierce resistance. So I think there were a number of reasons why we are seeing this decision.
How is this likely to go down with an Iraqi whose Shiite or Kurdish family was terrorized by the Ba'athists, someone who might have lost a son or a father, might have fled the country for that matter? What's the message implied by saying that people who supported the regime, even passively, and who got the good jobs, are equally welcome in the post-Saddam power structure?
I think that it depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to some of the people who think of the whole situation in Iraq, either in terms of ethnicity or terms of religion, then those people might be opposed to this kind of bringing back some of the people of the in the regime. But if you talk to some of the Shia, and even some of the Kurds have said that their mistakes had been made by excluding this large number of people and by also marginalizing the Sunnis, to making into them into enemies and driving them into the corner. So basically you need to rectify this situation.
Does this mark the complete marginalization of the expatriate groups, of the emigres who had so much influence a year and a half ago, let's say?
I think there were a lot of mistakes that were made. There were misconceptions about the war. There were mistakes in the way they dealt with the situation in the post-war period, which is this one was one of them. And part of this was based on advice from the expatriates who, because of their own perspectives, pushed in certain direction. I think this may be a sign of the weakening of this group.
Professor Garib, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank
today.
You.
Professor Edmund Garib of the American University in Washington, D.C. His forthcoming book is called The Historical Dictionary of Iraq.